Rock and Redeemer God, for this word about your word, we pray. Pour out your Spirit, O Lord, be near to us and speak to us that we might also proclaim your glory. Keep us from using our reason against your truth, but let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, for you are our strength and salvation. Amen. A fortnight from now, we'll be gathered back here to gather again to celebrate a brand new year. For Christians, our liturgical calendar begins before January 1st. We get a jump on everybody else. The first will be last, the last will be first. It's our turn to go first. Maybe this next coming year will be the one that will see the end to COVID protocols. Maybe this coming year will be the one to see world peace. In 2 weeks' time, we'll all be asking if our new year will also be the one to hold the return of Jesus for his real coming a second time, not just the first. It wouldn't have to be the end of the world or anything so dramatic as that. But what about an end to this world's madness? At least part of the popularity of the Jewish messianic figure was somehow knowing that God's representative was coming to put a lid on the world's madness and restore God's true intentions. The Jewish Messiah was supposed to put off Roman oppression, restore the Jewish homeland, as well as putting the nation of Israel in its rightful place at the very top of any worldly pecking order. Jewish believers trusted that God was going to win, that Israel was going to win, and that somehow everyone else would finally earn their just deserts. Well, at least lose. At least that's how the story was supposed to go. Except a lot of the time, as we know, the story didn't seem to go that way. There are a lot of times in Israel's history where things weren't exactly working out according to that plan. The exiled years, for example, when God's people were rounded up and carried off to foreign lands. Other times under the kings when the Israelites were under military threat or some form of foreign persecution or domination. You can read about many of those times where Israel's kings were encouraged to enter military alliances with other nations in order to throw off domination, and God's persistence in asking them to simply remain faithful to God's promises. In today's gospel reading, Jesus is sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple in Jerusalem with Peter and James and John and Andrew, who were asking him about the end times, about when all of this would be, the destruction of the temple, the reign of the Messiah, the accomplishment of all that God had promised. Of this, Jesus would only say this: beware that no one leads you astray. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, don't be alarmed. Nation will rise against nation. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. This is but the beginning of the birth pangs. And about this, we only wish there were 100 more details, right? Because we hear almost daily of wars and rumors of wars of all kinds. We're not supposed to be alarmed, but it's hard not to. Nations are rising against nation. There are earthquakes in various places and tornadoes and volcanoes and floods and every sort of other thing. There are famines or hunger that threatens hundreds of thousands every day, many in our own country. And this is but the beginning of the birth pangs. Surely those times that Jesus was referencing have got to be right now, Well, except these times have been happening for an awfully long time. Are we still at the beginning or are we nearing the end? But these are the times that call for our most fervent faith. Sometimes I think the best part about a Jewish messianic figure was that the Messiah was the one who was coming to kick butts and take names. The job of believers was simply holding out because the Messiah was coming to save the day, like the Calvary. The Messiah was coming to save God's people and the planet and whatever else needed saving or restructuring, and all believers had to do was wait for it in fervent hope. This might be why the ministry of Jesus never totally took off as a popular movement. All Jesus did was heal people and feed people. The blind saw, the lame walked, the deaf would hear again, the poor had good news brought to them, and most importantly, Jesus was never a threat to Roman domination. Remember, part of the Messiah's big appeal was that he was coming to kick butts and take names. And Jesus just sort of healed people and helped people and taught new ways of living. So when Christians first began to grapple with this messianic figure, it wasn't about the kicking butts and taking names. Jesus wasn't coming to settle everything once and for all. Rather, Jesus came to change our relationship with God and to change us, to reveal for us the kingdom of God and to call us to a life of loving God and neighbor. In other words, Jesus wasn't arriving to say, all of this is over. Well done. You've graduated. Rather, Jesus came to teach us that our work was just beginning. Beginning. This is a very different story than we sometimes or often want to think. What we like to say is God's got all of this and God's got us. Or God's got the whole world in God's hands, so don't worry about anything. Yes, that's true. But as Thomas later observes in his comments on our reading from Mark chapter 13, the clear implication is that Christians will not be raptured from trying times. Christians must endure the final days. Mark tells us that the end will come, but it will bring hard times, and Christians should prepare themselves. It's worth remembering that the acts of resistance and faithfulness in biblical times often meant persecution and death for those who practiced them. Hard times and hard duty. So what does it mean to place hope and trust in God if the outcome isn't going to relieve our suffering? Isn't that what we're hoping for? Apocalyptic is a Greek word that means revealing. For example, the New Testament book of Revelation is really entitled The Revelation to John. The book of Daniel in the Old Testament is one of the better examples of apocalyptic literature and genre because of the revelations or visions that are contained especially in chapters 7 through 12. It's important to note that these writings are not in any way written to predict what's going to happen in the future. Rather, they are visions that describe the author's view or others' view of the end times or the end of the age. They're meant to be encouraging, not discouraging. Instead of focusing on how everything is going to shake out, almost always the purpose of the writing is to help us recognize and understand the importance of being faithful and persevering in spite of times of suffering or difficulty or hardship. Paul Cho writes, Daniel 12, 1-3 speaks to a dire historical situation described in the preceding passages in symbolic and mythological language and speaks of protection in the midst of religious persecution and resurrection against the reality of death. The authors of Daniel chose to respond in nonviolent resistance. Theirs was a program of fasting and praying and teaching and preaching and courageous faithfulness to the God of Israel. So what does Daniel do when he's thrown into the lion's den? He prays and waits in hope for the promise that God has made. It's always worth noting, though, resistance, even non-violent resistance, usually means persecution and death for those that practice them. And part of the apocalyptic writing is to help the faithful have faith that God and God's agents fight and will ultimately triumph over evil. The messianic hope of Israel was formulated in seeing that there was no other possibility of the world being changed aside from a hope that God was sending a different kind of leader who would emerge and order the world finally the way that God wanted it, according to God's values. For us, for Christians, that person indeed is Jesus. But the news for early Christians wasn't all good. In chapter 13, when Mark's Jesus talks about the stones of the temple being thrown down, it's more than likely that this historical reality had already happened, that Mark had witnessed it. At about the same time that Mark's gospel appears in written form, the temple in Jerusalem had already been destroyed by the Romans, asserting their military domination against Jewish resistance. Mark's point wasn't to demonstrate that the end was near, rather that Christians were called especially to endure times of unavoidable, painful change. The world was changing and being changed. To ask, when will all of this be over, is really like asking, when will our faithfulness be over? Or when will our call to love neighbor be over? Or when will we not need to rely on Jesus? In other words, we're not getting a get-out-of-jail-free card. We will not be pass and go and collecting an extra $200. We're not going to get out of hard times because we believe Jesus saves us. We do believe Jesus saves us, but also that we're being called upon to live faithfully and to endure. You see, Jesus doesn't clarify anything here. Wars, earthquakes, hunger, they happen all the time. Jesus' words don't reveal an end to human suffering as much as they're meant to sustain our hope as followers and believers in the post-Easter church. If anything, these things merely mark the beginning of the end. But this is still good news, because Jesus is revealing the kingdom of God right here, right in the midst of all of this mess. He shows us that the kingdom of God is alive and well and isn't going anywhere. And none of these wars and rumors of wars, none of the earthquakes and famines, none of the disease and desecration of the earth or the temple, none of the domination of nations or other people can destroy God's vision or change God's promises. Jesus makes the kingdom of God alive for us, right here, among us, around us, through us. It's sometimes right in our hands. And we're called to be faithful to it, to persevere with it in our hearts and in our minds and in our hands until He comes to take it up in His again. When will all of this be over? Isn't the important question. How we plan to keep faithfulness amidst it all? That's the question. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord, who promises us the kingdom and gives it to us even now. Amen.